Welcome to Seeing Into Being Summit, spiritual insights and stories to awaken the golden age in your heart, mind, and daily life.
Om Shanti Diwadi. Welcome
good
to this.
Good morning.
Good morning, good evening, good day, everyone. So nice that, congratulations, you know, that you are a bonus track to this beautiful project. Because we thought that after listening to so many wonderful minds, so many sharings, I thought it would be nice to have a little bit perspective on how do we reflect on all these interviews and all these different thoughts that have been triggering in our minds for the last few weeks about Golden Age. So welcome, Wadi Ben, and I think we're very happy to hear from you as well, because I know you reflect beautifully on many concepts, and each one has its own way to understand, to reflect. So we wanted to hear from you a little bit, and my first question to you would be, since you've been starting to listen to these interviews, we've been taking our mind to the Golden Age, we've been questioning all kind of things, we've been looking at details on certain areas of the process of seeing and being. What's been going on into your mind for the last few days when we've been listening to these interviews? What's been your reflections?
Well, thoroughly enjoying listening to my friends' perspectives. It may not have been questions that I would have asked them myself before. And so it's very interesting to hear the different takes on their ideas. And as a consequence, which I think would be the same for any of the listeners, is that they ask themselves those same questions and see wherein they're in alignment with the experiences or the opinions of others, and where maybe their experience or their responses might be a little bit different. And so thoroughly enjoying the diversity. And that reminding me again of the beauty of the Brahman family is that each one is unique, and each one has his or her own experience, and that is perfectly permissible.
Absolutely permissible, of course, yes. And, you know, we make sure to clarify, of course, in the process that these are personal experiences. It's not in any way an official statement from any organization about what the future is going to really be, but like you said, more personal experiences. What have these questions and reflections been triggering in you personally, in the light of your own experience of Golden Age and your own reflection of Golden Age? Have you got new ideas or new perspective on Golden Age for yourself?
Well, I look back at my own journey, and unlike the assumption that we all came to this embracing the idea of the Golden Age, and then maybe a little bit later on our journey, we didn't take it so literally. Well, I think for me, I started off the opposite, in that there was a resistance to the idea of the Golden Age because it didn't fit my ideal. And I was focused more on the idea of, you know, nature, being in harmony with nature and so on and so forth. And certainly the idea of a dress code and crowns and jewels and wealth and all of that was not part of the picture for me. And also that I liked better the idea of the confluence age, in which, back again to that idea of infinite variety. And the odd thing was, you know, I was a reluctant BK to begin with, and so challenged most of the ideas insofar as I understood them. But then one day, listening to the Murli, when Baba said something that really, really endeared me to him and made me feel like as if he really got me as well. And he said, in the Golden Age, you will be a bunch of royal buddhus. And that really touched my heart, because in a vague kind of a way, that was how I, with my limited vision, saw the Golden Age. It didn't seem terribly exciting. And the one thing that is so important to all of us did not seem to be there, and that was choice. That everything was uniform, and you know, that there was no contrast or anything else. And so then, as time went on, I was I had a different kind of understanding. But it was almost like as if by Baba saying that, he opened me up to the idea of the beauty and the experience of the Golden Age.
Well, on that one, Wadi, you will have to explain to us a bit more clearly what happened when we changed from a bunch of buddhus, from a bunch of bindus into a bunch of buddhus. How did this really explain the whole mystery of the world? Let me know more about it. But no, you're touching on something actually very interesting. You know, what's been the process afterwards from buddhus gathering into accepting, or what have you done afterwards? Just accept ideas or reflect differently on these views that you were rejecting that suddenly you started more to accept? What's really happened in your process?
As I say, it was a long process, and if I remember correctly, when I came to Gyan, it was more the idea of a better world, not necessarily the idea of a golden age, but the intention was for a world better than what it was at present. And then, of course, gradually the realization that there would have to be a total transformation, and that a lot of the old ways of being, doing, would have to go out the window in order for that new scenario to come in. And once, while in meditation, and this is going back, not necessarily at the beginning, I might have been about 8 years in Gyan, and there was the experience, I guess it was akin to a visionary experience, although I wouldn't say precisely that, but it was very visual. And what I was seeing was a room or a space that was full of people, presumably these beings in the future. And there was, of course, the requisite harmony and so on and so forth. And then someone walked into the room, and I was aware in my the image that it was a male. I was in a female costume, but by this person walking into the room, the vibration level in the whole room rose up, increased, and then I saw myself standing in front of this beautiful being, and the experience was not of a sharing of love in the sense that one was giving and the other was receiving, but it was as if the love was circular. It didn't belong to one or the other, and it wasn't that one had more or less than the other. It was moving in a circular motion. And so that sense that the Golden Age is about a level of vibration in which we are all equal beings. We may play different roles, but that we're all equal beings, and that we all can catch that same vibration, you know, whether it's of love or peace or kindness or whatever it happens to be. And so that was also quite transformative for me. And so I don't tend to see the Golden Age so much in terms of how things look. A little while ago, the the question even arose as to whether or not we would be conscious of our bodies in the Golden Age. And the response that someone gave really touched me very deeply. And they said, no, we'll probably all feel like as if we're omnipresent. And, you know, I like that idea very much, because we're not going to be confined or defined or limited by the costume that we're in, that there's like consciousness will be so vast and maybe we can't even imagine it at this point. And so that the game will not be played out there so much, even though there is a physicality, but it will not be, there'll be nothing dense or solid about it, but rather that it will be played at the level of consciousness, and that the interactions will be almost like as if transcendent, you know, that it won't be, there will be the physical manifestation, but still it'll be more to do with this unlimited consciousness that we all will have. That was, anyway, just a recent experience.
Yeah, well, that's a wonderful one. Do you have other ones that come to mind that have given you really a glimpse on certain issues or certain aspects of the Golden Age? Any other really specific experiences like this one?
The other one that was kind of specific, and then it's matching them in a sense with what's happening in the subtle experiences in meditation at present, and that is of being the child in the womb, and that there will be this amazing connection, you know, under the mother's heart, of the developing fetus and the being who is carrying the child. And that I see that in some ways like in the present, in the experience in meditation, of almost being like in Baba's womb when we're in the soul world, and that there's an equal, and you know, that the beatings of the heart are in total synchronicity, and that every heartbeat is an expression of pure love. That was the other one that was very specific.
Well, that brings the notion of being in a womb in a very nice, wonderful way, and could understand why we call it the palace of the womb at the time.
Yes. These are Baba's words.
Right. I'm listening to you, Wadi, and feeling how interesting, as if everyone we've been hearing for the past, you know, 21 days in that case, had shared very specific insights, as if we all hold one piece of the puzzle, or many pieces of the puzzle. I'm wondering if there will be, because of this reflection we had collectively, with, I think, an open mind, you know, and like you said, knowing that some people may think in one way or have a personal experience that bring them to that thinking. But I'm wondering if by collectively listening to all these thoughts and sharings, are we going to emerge a different, maybe a more complete, or an element that would trigger greater ideas on each one of us in the journey of reflection to the Golden Age? What do you think of that, of the collection of these ideas from everyone?
I would like to think so. And we were asking in class the other day, even though we'd only heard a few of the interviews, what were the things that caught each one's attention? And that was very interesting too, you know. Of course, one of the ideas is the gold on the eyelid, and then things which, for instance, certainly would not have been a part of the thinking from a traditional Hindu or Indian perspective. When I heard one of our lovely sisters refer to a stage in the golden age with children and where there would be animals to pet. That was something a little bit different. And again, you know, that sense of taking all of these different things, whether the physical manifestation or the subtlety of consciousness, and then using it in our own meditations to not only be more clear about the future, but having the experience of that in the present, because there is an equivalent in terms of an experience which then will become an expression. I was one of the interviews that I was hearing, I don't remember now who it was, but this idea of where, yes, in the golden age we will be deities, and in the confluence age we're Brahmins with each other on the physical plane. But, you know, where do we get to be angels with each other? And the angels is the forerunner, if you like, to the deity status. And so that experience of being the angel is when we sit together in meditation, that we can see each other in our respective angelic forms and feel that for ourselves and even in our drishti and everything else. And so we will be, although we say deities, we are going to be amazing human beings there, but that the consciousness is going to be so very subtle, and that's the practice, I think, at the present time.
So you're touching a little bit here on one of the key elements of these interviews, this notion of process of becoming as well, you know, from the seeing into the being. And so many questions come to my mind to ask you, but based on your own personal experiences, which you've shared so far, how did it become an engine or a force to make you change certain things in you or grow certain things within you, like you just shared about sitting together and creating that angelic vision? How do you see your personal experiences and your understanding of the Golden Age translating into a driving force for change?
The way and the goal, if you like. However corny it might sound, is love. That will be the end result. The knowledge won't remain, none of the other things, the study won't remain, nothing else. But what will be there, and it is what we have to do at the moment, is almost like as if, I know from experience, to the extent that I'm either, you know, rejecting something or resisting something, that I am withdrawing, in a sense, from love, and that as a consequence, everything becomes harder, everything becomes more solid, like the karma or whatever that I have to deal with. And so I know that, as the song goes, love is the answer. Love is the answer. That's the world. And so it's amazing to me the fact that, you know, in the golden age, you know, or the age of truth, which is maybe more apt or appropriate because, you know, it's about love and it's about innocence, we're all going to look alike. And yet, in order for that to manifest, we have to learn love now when there is such an infinite variety in every sphere, whether we're talking about, you know, races, religions, nationalities. You know, it'll be very easy at one level in the Golden Age because of the sameness we're all, and the sameness not in that sense of looking alike, but because we're all on the same vibratory level. And so this is the thing at the present time, is about trying to raise the level of our vibrations. This is the choice that we have at the present time, to either go for the love, which I wish I could say I always did, but at least there's an awareness of it, or that, you know, I'm lowering the level of my vibration. And so this idea of, even as the world expands, and we know that it all has to contract again, but at the level of awareness, we know that's what we're supposed to be doing, that we're supposed to be expanding it, and so that it includes everything, almost like as if, you know, your soul has so much awareness, so much love, so much connection, that you can absorb all the things that have been created by your own ego, you know, and that you're not rejecting even the manifestation of the ego of others.
That's a whole process. I hear you, Anamisa. You said this whole variety now, even within the Brahmin family, there's such a great variety of ideas. And even when we talked about this golden age, I think we all are very polite with one another, very, you know, respectful. And at the same time, we can share so many different take on the details, of course, as we understand. I don't think anyone knows exactly what will be really the physicality of Golden Age. I think we've got insights and little peeks into it, but it's very hard to know if really there's going to be lions with big teeth, or is there going to be, you know, anything, crowns and these and the other. So I think the details is not what really matters. I think what people have been pointing out is their experiences and their feelings and their, you know, insights into the quality of the beings in the Golden Age, which is very important, unifying all these beings. So with all these aspects being presented to us for the last few days, you mentioned in the beginning that you were listening to it and thinking, well, these may not be the questions I would have been asking. As you know, I've been trying to ask a lot of questions that I've heard from other people and that I've witnessed in the Brahmin family, questioning that we've been having all together, sometimes listening to the Murlis or listening to different views of one another. Would there be any other questions for you that you seem are relevant at this point that we should ask ourselves about the whole thing?
I think one of the things maybe is to do with time and how our way of looking at time will be very different. And again, the methodology at the present time to get there is, of course, remembrance. And part of that remembrance, although Baba, the main focus of our remembrance, but it is also of remembering, you know, as the song says, living in the memory of our future births. But in the golden age, there will be no need to remember anything, you know, like today, even with, say, recordings such as this or music or video or whatever else, that it's all good, but it can also bring you back, like when you're watching something. I remember once watching a group perform and knowing that two of the members of the group had actually died some years before. And so you're looking at something in the present, but it really was something that was done in the past. And so that in the golden age, you won't have, you know, the sorrow or the regrets or anything like, well, that's not going to be there anyway, but that the past, everything just segues from one moment to the next. And you know, that every moment will be like will be sufficient unto itself, will almost be infinite in itself. And so there'll be no thought of hanging on to anything. So I would like to hear more about people's views on time, you know, and where time and remembering things of the past and nostalgia and all of that. And the other aspect too, which I like very much is, and I'm not sure if it's a question, but it was a something that had come from a Chinese philosopher, And that idea that in our interactions with each other, that there's no thought of either bestowing or receiving any gifts. And Baba has said something similar, and because of which there was never any need to keep accounts nor to keep records. And so this aspect that Baba brings up of the neutrality of karma, I'd be interested to hear what others might have to say about that. You know,
well, I'm sure that the there will be continuation, of course, with this project. I think the idea is to move it from a Brahmin reflection to a stage where we increase the reflection to the public and bring some vision out there. What do you think we should do with all these thoughts? What's been your reaction to listening to this variety of ideas? And what would be your take on what's happening in the drama now? I mean, this project came up. I'm sure it must be inspired also by Baba. What do you see this whole collection of ideas becoming?
I was somewhere last week, and we took it up there too. It was a different language, and then someone very quickly volunteered to be the for want of a better word, the coordinator there, in that as well as hearing from mostly our seniors, that the interest to hear from people who have been various amounts of time in Gyan, and not least the very new ones, I'll be curious, and not the presumption that they would have heard it the same, that they're hearing it the same way as we did, you know, because it's a different time now. And they will hear it from a different perspective, I think. So I would be curious to know how they're receiving these ideas. And so I do feel that it has started something to bubble inside of us, and certainly further discussions with everyone. I'm intrigued, and I think that thereby it's not that any of our opinions are set in stone, but that it will reawaken or evoke something from within us too. And then I know that another phase of the program, the detail I don't know, is to bring this into the public's awareness. And I think that we are equipping ourselves in a very beautiful way, and again being reminded that yes, this is really my ideal, and this is what I do see going forward, that the world can be like this. And so that you're offering this beautiful sense of a way that human beings can be together, and I know there's a huge audience for it.
Do you think there may be a little missing piece in the puzzle that we need to find, so we can really bring whatever experiences we have now and understanding that we have now closer to the future? In a sense, the process of transformation is probably one of the most, difficult one to predict really in detail. You know, how do we change from today's world into this kind of little dream world that we've seen in little bits and pieces here and there? And so do you think we're maybe triggering some reflection that will bring out a missing piece in the puzzle that we haven't seen so far?
You know, the beauty of the whole thing sometimes, and we all love the idea of secrets. And even whilst we want to know the detail, we want to know the how. And then there's another part which is really to do with secrets. And it's almost like as if that piece, that secret, will come to me not necessarily as a piece of, as a fact or as a piece of information, but in a more subtle way perhaps. And I think also that we've heard umpteen stories of how somebody running a race or looking to achieve something, and it's been very arduous and difficult and everything else. And then they get to the point where they're just literally half a mile away from their goal, but they get exhausted or lazy and they give up. And so I think maybe that this might be synonymous with the time that we're in terms of our spiritual effort, in that we can negatively look to justify maybe our laziness or not applying ourselves any longer to the journey, and that the tipping point may not be that far away. And that's how I think that it will happen. Everything we do, every little thing we do in the name of love, whether it's a bit of compassion or a bit of kindness or whatever else, that it's all accumulating. And that even though the focus has to be on my individual accumulation, yet everyone else is doing the same thing. And I really do think there will be a tipping point. Are we ready for it? Is the question.
I'm sure we are, because Baba must have something in mind to bring us into that project. So thank you so much. But it's really wonderful. I feel immense gratitude for yourself, for everyone who has been accepting to open themselves up to the BK public sphere of thinking, to expose their ideas. It's courageous. It's also honest. I have immense gratitude for each and everyone who has been sharing those thoughts and giving those interviews. I have immense gratitude for all those who have been translating into so many languages, those long interviews. My heart goes to each one of them for their work, those who have been putting together all these interviews. So let's hope it does bring this kind of little push we need at the end to do the extra mile that will take us to the final destination. So a big thank you, but before I let you go, we have the tradition to close these sessions with a very short piece of reflection. So can you take us into just a few seconds of visionary insight and experience with you?
I want to go back there. I'm drawn again and again to that time of innocence and of magic, where the heart is full and open, and where there's no time between the thoughts in the imagination and what comes into being. Like painting a picture with vivid colors, beauty, fragrance, and all of it joined together in a dance in which I am at the center, both observing and expressing. And in just another moment, all of the senses become calm, and quiet, and I am inside myself. That point of glowing, pure, silent energy. That is the very heart of creation. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti, and again a big, big thank you, Wadi, and
Eric, I just want to say again a huge thanks for being so much at the center of this project and of drawing all of that beauty and truth and imagination out from all of those who have participated. And so a huge big thanks on behalf of the whole BK family, and I know that it has added to you as your participation has added to us. Thanks again.
Thank you. I hope okay. I haven't really pushed any buttons that shouldn't have been pushed somewhere, so we just hope that we all keep an open mind and appreciate everyone's ideas as being just, let's think about it and see. So thank you, Wadi. I'll see you before the golden age anyway, so we'll continue our conversations.
I love that. I love that. All right. Thank you, Eric. Bye-bye. Om Shanti.